Hello, friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Wineville Chicken Coop murders and how this case inspired the movie Changeling to be created. Listener's discretion is advised. The Wineville Chicken Coop murders, also known as the Wineville Chicken Murders, were a series of abductions and murders of young boys that occurred in the city of Los Angeles and in Riverside County, California, between 1926 and 1928. The murders were carried out by Gordon Stewart Northcutt, who was a 19-year-old farmer who had moved to California from Canada 2 years prior, as well as his mother, Sarah Louise Northcutt, and his nephew, Sanford Clark. Gordon Stewart Northcutt was born November 9, 1906 in Bladworth, Saskatchewan, and was raised in British Columbia. He moved to Los Angeles with his parents in 1924, and 2 years later, Gordon asked his father to purchase a plot of land in Wineville, California. On this land, he built a chicken ranch and a house with the help of his father and his nephew, Sanford Clark. It was said Gordon was the one who actually brought his nephew in order to help with the ranch. Upon Sanford's arrival at the ranch, unfortunately, Gordon began to physically and sexually abuse Clark. In August of 1928, out of concern for his welfare, Clark's 19-year-old older sister, Jessie, wanted to visit him at the ranch after Jessie became suspicious of the letters that Clark was forced to send home from the Northcott's ranch. These letters would assure Jessie that Sanford was good and well, but she still became suspicious. So she decided to go out there, and she stayed at the ranch for several days, where Clark finally told her that he was scared shitless for his life. One night, while Gordon was asleep, Clark told his sister everything, that Gordon had murdered 4 boys at his ranch. After hearing this, Jessie returned to Canada a week later and informed an American consul of Gordon's crimes. The council then wrote a letter to the LAPD detailing Jesse's complaint. Now, there was some initial concern over an immigration issue. The LAPD contacted the United States Immigration Service to determine facts relating to her complaint. Oh yeah, they're gonna investigate, for sure. On August 31st, 1928, Immigration Service inspectors Judson F. Shaw and George W. Scallon visited the ranch. So Gordon was seeing these agents driving up his road, right? And he was like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. But before he could, you know, flee, he threatened with Clark and told him that he needed to stall so he can get a head start at getting the hell out of there. And if he didn't comply, Gordon would shoot him with his rifle from the tree line. Now, this was not the first time that Gordon has threatened Sanford, since he threatened him his entire time of him being there with a gun. So Sanford obviously was going to comply. Now, afraid of his life, he complied, and he stalled for 2 hours while Gordon decided to get a head start in his escape. Finally, when Clark felt that Gordon was, you know, far enough gone, and the agents could protect him, he told everything. Gordon and his mother, Sarah Louise, fled back to Canada, but were arrested near Vernon, British Columbia on September 19th, 1928. You went back to Canada? I mean, yeah, but like, no. Clark testified at Sarah Louise's sentencing that Gordon had kidnapped, molested, beaten, and killed 3 young boys with the help of his mother and Clark. Clark also testified that the murder of a 4th man, who was a Mexican citizen, possibly the ID of an Alvin Gathea, whose decapitated head Gordon had forced Clark to dispose of by burning in a fire pit and then crushing the skull. Gordon stated that he left the headless body by the side of the road near La Puente because he had no other place to put it. He stated that quicklime was used to dispose of the remains and that the bodies were buried on the ranch. body parts found. Authorities found three shallow graves at the ranch where Clark had stated where they were. The graves did not contain any complete bodies, but only parts. Clark and his sister Jessie testified that Gordon and his mother had exhumed the bodies on the evening of August 4th, 1928, just a few weeks before Clark was taken into protective custody. They had taken the bodies to a deserted area where they most likely burned in the night. The complete bodies were never recovered. The evidence found in the graves consisted of 51 parts of human bones. This evidence enabled the authorities to conclude that a Walter Collins, two brothers named Lewis and Nelson Winslow, who were 10 and 12, and the unidentified fourth victim, had all been murdered. Lewis and Nelson Winslow were abducted on May 16, 1928, from Pomona, California, on their way home back from a yacht club meeting. Imprisonment and execution. Canadian police arrested Northcott and his mother on September 19, 1928. There were errors in the extradition paperwork, and they were not returned to LA until November 30th of 1928. While the two were being held in British Columbia awaiting extradition back to California, Sarah confessed to the murders, including the murder of the 9-year-old Walter Collins. But before being extradited to California, she contracted her confession, as did Gordon, who had confessed to killing more than 5 boys. Like, no. You said what you said. Yes, no. No taking back. After Sarah and her son had been extradited from British Columbia to California, she once again confessed and pleaded guilty to killing Walter Collins. Like, see, yeah, stick to what you said. She was not tried upon her plea of guilty. Superior Court Judge Morton sentenced her to life imprisonment on December 31st, 1928, sparing her a death sentence because she was a woman. During her sentence hearing, she claimed that her son was innocent and made a variety of claims about his parentage, including that he was the illegitimate son of an English nobleman, and that she was actually Gordon's grandmother, and he was a result of incest between her husband, Cyrus George Northcott, and their daughter. Ew. She also stated that as a child, Gordon was sexually abused by the entire family. After being sentenced, Sarah attempted to commit suicide and begged the authorities not to execute her son. She said, quote, "I got a square deal. If they'll just be good to my boy, if they just won't hang him." After learning that her son would, be hanged, Sarah begged the authorities to kill her as well. Sarah served her sentence at Tehachapi State Prison and was paroled after less than 12 years. What happened to life? She died in 1944. It was speculated that Gordon may have killed as many as 20 boys, but the state of California cannot produce any evidence to support that speculation. Ultimately, the state only brought an indictment against Gordon for the murders of an unidentified underage Mexican national, which was known as, quote, the Headless Mexican, and the brothers Lewis and Nelson Winslow. In early 1929, Gordon Northcott's trial was held before Judge George R. Freeman in Riverside County, California. The jury heard that he kidnapped, molested, tortured, and murdered the Winslow brothers and the, quote, Headless Mexican in 1928. And on February 8th, 1929, the 27-day trial ended with Gordon being convicted of 3 counts of first-degree murder. 27 days? On February 19th, 1929, Freeman sentenced him to death, and he was hanged on October 2nd, 1930, at San Quentin State Prison. He was 23 years old. So Sanford Clark, the nephew, was not tried for murder since the ADA believed he was innocent and was also a victim of Gordon's death threats and sexual abuse, and was not a willing participant in the crimes committed at the ranch. Sanford was sentenced to 5 years at the Whittier State School, and he only served 23 months since he was showing good signs of his temperament, job skills, and his desire to live a productive life. He died in 1991 at the age of 78. And was buried in Woodlawn Cemetery in Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan in 1993. Now, how is this case related to Changeling? Well, Walter Collins was one of the reported victims at the Wendville chicken murders, but there was no physical evidence of his death found at the ranch. No belongings, no traces, no grave, no body. And remember, Sarah Northcott retracted her confession. On March 10th, 1928, 9-year-old Walter Collins was abducted when he went to the movies and never came back. Initially, his mother, Christine Collins, and the police believed that the enemies of Walter Collins Sr., Walter's father, had abducted Walter. Walter Collins Sr. had been convicted of 8 armed robberies and was an inmate at Folsom State Prison. Walter Collins' disappearance received nationwide attention, and the Los Angeles Police Department followed up on hundreds of leads without success. The police faced negative publicity and increasing public pressure to solve this case. 5 months after Walter's disappearance, a boy claiming to be Walter was found in DeKalb, Illinois. You know, hoping this is her kid, Christine Collins paid for the boy to be brought to LA. A public reunion was organized by the police, who was hoping to negate all the bad publicity they had received since they failed to solve this case and others. The police also hoped that the uplifting story would, you know, deflect the attention off them and any scandals they had with the department. At the reunion, Christine stated that the boy was not her son. She was told by the officer in charge of this case, police captain J.J. Jones, to take the boy home and to, quote, try him out a couple of weeks. Okay, she agreed to do this, and I don't even know why, so infuriating. A mother knows her son. If it's not her son, it's not her son. Just saying. 3 weeks later, after trying him out, Christine returned to see Captain Jones and persisted in her claim, this is not my kid. She even had dental records proving this imposter was not her kid, and was shot down again. This is the 20s, ladies. We have no rights, much like now. Even though she had dental records proving this was not her kid, Jones had her committed to the psychiatric ward at Los Angeles County Hospital under a Code 12, which is a term used to jail or commit somebody who was deemed difficult or inconvenient. Days after she released, Walter finally told the truth. I am not Walter Collins. During Christine's incarceration, Jones actually started to get suspicious of this kid and started to question, and the boy admitted to being a 12-year-old Arthur Hutchins Jr., who was a runaway originally from Iowa. A drifter at a roadside cafe in Illinois had told Hutchins of his resemblance to the missing Walter, and so Hutchins came up with the plan to try to impersonate him. His motive was to get to Hollywood so that he could meet his favorite actor, Tom Mix, and to escape from his stepmother, whom he had lived with at the age of 9 after his mother died in 1925. I mean, we all have difficult mothers, but don't go ruining families trying to be somebody else. Once Arthur's identity was exposed, Christine Collins demanded justice for her false imprisonment, as would any of us. A court ultimately ruled in her favor, and Captain Jones was ordered to pay like $10,800, which is equivalent in 2021 of $1,062,000. Get this, he never paid. Oh no. So Christine became hopeful that Walter might be alive after she spoke in an interview with Gordon Northcott. She asked him if he killed her son, and after listening to his lies, confessions, and recantations, she just concluded that this man was crazy. Because Gordon did not even seem to know whether he had even met Walter, much less killed him, she clung to the hope that Walter was still alive. So Gordon sent Christine a telegram shortly before he was executed, saying he had lied when he denied that Walter was among his victims. He promised he would tell her the truth if she came in person to hear it. So just a few hours before the execution, she went to go see Gordon, but upon her arrival, he got freaked out. He said, quote, I don't want to see you. And he also said, quote, I don't know anything about it. I'm innocent. Sarah Louise Northcott lived in Los Angeles during her son's time in Wineville. She reportedly went to visit her son at the same time that he had 9-year-old Walter Collins trapped in his chicken coop. Sarah Louise later maintained that she first proposed the plan to kill Walter as a way to protect her son. According to her story, Gordon and his nephew, Sanford Clark, repeatedly hit Walter. She testified to her participation, and then she said they dismembered the body and then buried it in quicklime. But once again, there was no physical evidence that they found him. No DNA evidence that it was ever him. Which gave Christine Collins hope that her son was still alive, and she spent the rest of her life looking for her son. She died in 1964 at the age of 75, and no signs of Walter Collins has ever been found. This case was so terrible that small farming town in 1931 changed the town's name from Wineville, California, and officially became Mira Loma, California. This community was tired of the negative publicity associated with the murders, and they just wanted a fresh start. Damn, not only did you ruin the lives of several people, whole town got to change. Ooh. Rest in peace to these poor victims, poor boys, and the mystery of Walter. I mean, what happened? I researched. I went down a rabbit hole, let me tell you. There are some articles that say he, you know, was one of the victims, and there were some that says, you know, that they never found evidence and that he died somewhere else. I don't know. Still remains unsolved. Thank you guys so much for joining today. I am Marissa Blackwood, and tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe, and don't forget to check out my TikTok at SinisterMarissa.